Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It's Joanna. I'm so happy to be with all of you today. We've got a big call today. The call is all about, I call it logistics, systems, and templates. And, you know, basically it is about the different logistics and systems and templates that you want to be using before you start coaching with a client, while you're coaching your client, and then towards the end of your run with your client. Before I say anything else, I do just want to mention, in case you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, so logistics and systems and templates, you know, also refer to some legal issues or legal matters, because it necessarily has to do with contracts and things like that. I'm not going to get into any of the legal issues in today's training. I like to leave that up to the lawyers. And because of that, I did bring on a guest faculty, Gina Jaffe Shingle, who is a lawyer, specifically for coaches and people in the transformational industry. And she created, it's a short training, but it's jam-packed with a lot of incredible information on some legal issues and documents that you want to be thinking about for your practice. We've got that in your membership center. So when you get a chance, I highly recommend listening to Gina's call. She's just very experienced with all of the legal pieces. So legal pieces aside, logistics and systems and templates are actually way, way deeper than you might think. There's so much more about them than just simply the document that is about, you know, scheduling emails or contracts or welcome packets or progress reports. We're going to be looking at all of those and more, and I will get into the second half of the call, you know, concrete details on all of those things. But before we get there, I want to look at the depth behind them. I want to look at the inner pieces behind them. I want to really look at the energetics behind them, because the bigger concept behind creating and executing and upholding these logistics and these systems and these templates, all of these things, the bigger concept behind it is really about the energetics of holding a strong and powerful container for the coaching relationship. So if you remember back to our very, very first call in Sacred Depths, we looked at energetics, and part of the fiber of aligned energetics in the coaching relationship is creating and maintaining a strong container. And if you remember, I'm sure you do, because we keep on coming back to this, when you've got a strong container, that's what helps promote trust, vulnerability, appreciation, motivation, forward movement. So how is it that something like a confirmation email for a scheduled session or a welcome packet or a contract, how is it that those things can help create and maintain a powerful container? Well, it's because logistics and systems and templates like that create clarity and confirmation around expectations in the coaching relationship for both the coach and the coachee. And I'll say that again. Documents like that and systems like that create clarity and confirmation around expectations for both the coach and the coachee. So, for example, will be when you and your client know and have agreed, we're going to be meeting at these times. The investment is this much. This is how long it takes to answer emails. All of that clarity and confirmation around those expectations, it creates a sense of safety. And the safety is what helps create the container. You can think about it this way. When you know what to expect from someone else, and you also know what's expected of you, that's when you can settle in. That's when you can relax. That's when you don't need to worry, you know, is she going to be there for me in this way or won't she? Am I supposed to show up in this way or in that way? It's clear. And because of that clarity on expectations, there's a sense of peace and safety and reliability. There's all of that when all parties know and agree upon the expectations. And then when those expectations are honored and upheld and reinforced throughout the relationship. So it's not just about getting clear on them in the beginning. That is a big part of creating the container. But then to continue to honor and uphold them or reset them is another big important part of container setting. And by the way, this isn't just important for your clients, right? Yes, this helps clients know expectations, to settle in, to trust, to relax, to be clear. But it also helps us as coaches to have these agreements and these understandings and these agreed upon expectations as well. It helps us as coaches settle in and relax and know that we can trust the container, right? This is a small, subtle point, but it's an important one. A strong container isn't only when your client can trust the container, but it's when you can trust the container as well. And, you know, this thing about expectation and safety, if you've ever been around a young child or a toddler, you probably know what I'm talking about. You know, with young children and toddlers, when you set up routines for them, this is when breakfast is, this is when nap time is, you know, this is we brush our teeth before the shower, you know, whatever it is, most children will relax more. They'll act out less. They'll feel more comfortable just with everything that they're doing throughout the day because they've got a routine that's agreed, in a way agreed upon, right? There's an expectation that's been set, and they can settle into it. So, you know, just as an example of one example of why this is so important, I was once on a sales call with a healer that I was considering hiring for me. I was looking to hire her for her services. And, you know, we're on the phone for a little bit, and I was telling her what, you know, I wanted and what some of my issues were. And then, you know, she said, okay, well, my program is $1,200 for 7 weeks. Would I like to step in? And when she said that to me, there was no way that I could step into a container like that. You know, it's $1,200 for 7 weeks. It didn't feel safe to me. It felt risky because it was so vague. There were so many unknowns, you know, and I had to ask her questions like, well, how many sessions are there in those 7 weeks? How long are those sessions? What do you think that we can even accomplish in those 7 weeks? Like, what is this going to look like? You know, all of that, right? So starting off powerfully makes all of the difference. Like I said, we're going to be looking at different categories of systems and templates today, before ones like before you start actually coaching, during and after. And so I want to talk about the ones before. Starting off powerfully makes all of the difference. And when you coach, the container gets set and starts to get created well before your first session. This is a really important point. You want to think about creating your container well before your first session. When you don't, then either when you get to the first session with your client, it will likely be a leaky container and kind of a shaky session. And if you get off to that wrong start, maybe even some subsequent sessions will be shaky. Or the other thing that happens if you don't start setting the container before you get to your first coaching session with a client is that the first session may not even happen. The container has been so loose. I've seen this happen for people that the container is so loose that even though the person said yes, the prospect said yes, they actually like never make it to the first session. So the more clear that you can be from the get-go, and the more that you can start creating that safe and solid and tight container from the get-go, like really from the moment the person says yes on that sales call or even before, really the whole enrollment process is part of the container setting, then the less misunderstandings there are going to be, the less confusion there's going to be, and the more structure that there's going to be. And that way everybody can settle in more happily and more peacefully and with confidence. So contracts and welcome packets are a big part of starting off powerfully and setting the container. And there are some things that you want to be clear on, first for yourself and then for clients. And then you want to make sure that you put these things into your contract and into your welcome packets. And so I just want to share some of the biggies for you to be thinking about and considering. You know, if you've got established welcome packets and contracts, a lot of these pieces might be in there already. If they are, yay. But, you know, there might be some pieces here that aren't. So I want you to just really think about all of it. So questions like getting clear on how many, I know that some of this is obvious, but still it's important to state, how many sessions, right? How many sessions will there be? How long are the sessions? You want to be really clear from the get-go on how long the sessions are. In what period of time do the sessions need to be used? What else is included in the container besides sessions? Are you including email correspondence as part of the offering, as part of the work? Are you considering other types of communication in between sessions, like texts or voicemails or Voxer? And if so, what's the turnaround time on those pieces? That's a really important question. It's so important for the container. If you just let people know, yeah, you know, you can email me whenever you want. You know, email is part of our coaching. That's not enough, because what does that mean? Do you respond within 24 hours? Do you respond within 72 hours? You know, what's the turnaround time is an important piece of the client understanding the expectations. You want to think about beforehand and note you know, what happens if a client needs extra time? Do they have to pay for that extra time? Are you willing to schedule extra sessions in between? Will you hop on the phone for 10 minutes if they need it? What's your policy for that? What does payment look like? So what do you accept? Do you accept credit card? Do you accept checks? Do you accept PayPal? Do you accept checks? How does the client make the payment? When are the payments meant to be made? What's the protocol for making a payment? What happens if a payment fails or is late? You don't want to wait until it happens to share the policy then. You want that all laid out beforehand. What's your confidentiality policy? Confidentiality is another really important piece to a safe and tight and strong container. And being clear on what the confidentiality policy is really important. You want to be clear on how the client schedules sessions. And then what's the protocol for rescheduling sessions? How do they reschedule? And what's the rescheduling policy? Can they just reschedule last minute? Do they need to let you know within 24 hours, within 48 hours? What's the policy there? What's the scope of the work? In my contracts, and this is a legal piece also, but it's also part of container setting, I'm very clear on what the service is and what the service isn't. I'm not a financial advisor, right? Like any of those pieces, I'm not a therapist, all of that. It's legal, but it's also container setting, that question. I like to let clients know in the welcome packet, what do they do? Like if we have a call scheduled for 3:00 in the afternoon and they call at 3:00 and I don't pick up right away, what do they do, right? The policy is, what I say in there is sometimes I might go a minute or two over on the session before, or I might be a minute or two late. If you call and I don't pick up, no worries. Just hang up, wait 1 minute, wait 60 seconds, and call again. Something like that is so important for container setting, number one, so that a client, there are some clients that might freak out if they don't know that ahead of time. Oh my gosh, she's not there. She forgot about me. She whatever it is. What do I do? Or a client might just keep on calling, right, over and over again, or texting, or whatever it is. If you're wrapping up another session, you don't want that to be happening, right? So you want to think about what's your policy if you don't pick up right away. What's the refund policy? Do you allow refunds? How does that look like? What are the specifics there? What if you, the coach, wants to terminate the relationship at any point? What does that look like? I always have information about that in my contract and my welcome packet. And then anything else, questions you want to be asking yourself are generally, what are the coach's responsibilities? And what are the coachee's responsibilities? What happens if someone calls 15 minutes late or shows up 15 minutes late? How are you going to handle that, right? And, I'll just tell you guys, my personal kind of take on some of the rescheduling or showing up late, all of that. I have policies. But I also try to be accommodating as much as is safe for the container and upholding the container. So what I mean by that is, you know, I'm an accommodating person. I want to serve and support my clients. If a client calls 10 minutes late and I happen to have 10 minutes on the other end of that session, chances are I'm gonna give them the extra 10 minutes, right? It's all good. But if I have a client that's constantly doing that and I keep on allowing it, it's not so great for the container. Like on the outset, you might think like, oh, that's being helpful for the client to always do that. But the truth is that it erodes the mutual respect and the expectations and the understanding. So some people will just say you lost the 10 minutes. I don't do that. You know, I try to be accommodating, or if it's the first time somebody misses a call, right, I'll reschedule if it's for a good reason and they don't do it within the time frame that they have to reschedule, right? But then if it becomes a pattern, it's not serving the client and it's eroding the container. And so all of that kind of brings me to the next piece I want to talk about here, which is, you know, as I shared all of these different questions around contracts and packets, it might all sound pretty simple and easy, right? Just get clear on these policies and let's go. But the truth is that, and I've seen this happen for myself as well as so many of my clients, it can often feel really, really hard and even heavy, really challenging, either to articulate these policies or to enforce or uphold or honor these policies. And that has to do with having healthy and aligned boundaries. So I'll just tell you a couple of little anecdotes of my own. To illustrate this, but these stories, I could tell you 100 different client stories that echo this and see if you can see yourself in some of this. So, for example, when I was first starting out as a coach, I would let sessions go overtime all the time. I didn't uphold the session time. I was too scared to say, you know, we have to end now. It's time to end the call. We're going over time. When I first started coaching, I only took check or cash. And then at a certain point when my practice got bigger and bigger and it was just, I couldn't keep on, you know, going to the bank all the time and managing all of those checks and cash, I knew it was time to move to credit card and PayPal. Now, probably most people aren't as crazy as I am, but I'm just being honest. In my mind, I was like, my clients are going to just, they're not going to want to continue to be my clients. I'm getting too corporate here. You know, I'm telling them they can't give me cash anymore or send me checks. You know, it has to be credit cards. It was very hard for me, actually, to move to that. In the early years, if I had a client that, you know, once I moved over to credit card, that a payment failed, it was really hard for me to say, you know what, until I get the payment, we can't have our next session, right? It can sometimes, these things sound so easy at the outset, but they're much harder. You know, the client keeps on asking for extra time. Do we give it to them? Do we tell them they have to pay? There's a lot that can come out. And that just can come up around that. So, you know, we could easily do a full call on boundary setting. And actually, I used to have a program called Warrior Woman Entrepreneur that was a full, you know, 4-session class just on boundary setting. But I've got a lot of material that I want to share with you today. So we'll just spend a few minutes right now kind of doing a little inner work on looking at boundaries because they're so important. when I did the Warrior Woman Entrepreneur Program, it was based on my definition of the Warrior Woman archetype, which is essentially she who respects herself enough, as well as respects her clients and others enough, to set loving yet very strong boundaries for herself. The warrior woman is she who is willing to stand up for her personal space and time, for her value. The warrior woman is she who gracefully knows how to hold containers that really serve everyone, because she's strongly upholding the expectations that are aligned. So all that being said, take a moment. I've got a couple journaling questions for you. So the first one is, where do you struggle when it comes to setting boundaries with your clients? Where do you struggle when it comes to setting boundaries with your clients? And if you either don't have clients or you're not sure of the answer on that one, then you can look also at this question. Where do you struggle when it comes to setting boundaries really with anyone, with friends, with colleagues, with team members, with family members? So where do you struggle when it comes to those boundary setting pieces? And it might be, you know, once you're in the container with clients, things like going over time or letting people pay late all the time or whatever it is. Or it might also show up in the enrollment conversations themselves, like you've set a certain price and somehow you end up lowering it, as an example, right? And just as an aside, I want to make sure I remember to mention this. I've got a full 5-hour training on enrollment conversations for you. It's one of your bonuses in the member center. I highly, highly recommend making the time to go through it. I just want to put that out there. All right, so what do you struggle with when it comes to setting boundaries? And the next question, what's the impact of having trouble setting those boundaries, inner or outer? How does it impact your business? How does it impact your clients? How does it impact the coaching container? How does it impact your energy or how you feel about yourself or how you feel about your client? Does it bring up resentment for you? Do you end up resenting the client because you're not upholding your boundaries, right? That's something that can often happen. Like the coach or the practitioner just allows for the client keeps on calling in late, but then somehow the coach ends up resenting the client for always being late instead of the much cleaner road, which is about setting the, you know, upholding the boundary. So what's the impact in your business, on your clients, in your relationship with your clients, how you feel about your clients, your own energetics, when you have trouble setting boundaries? And if you don't have clients, again, you can look at family members or friends or team members, whatever it is. Next question, I want to invite you to consider is, why are you having trouble setting boundaries? Why? And before you answer that question, you can write it down, but before you answer that question, I want to just talk on this for a little bit and share some pieces with you. So, you know, we looked at what I'm about to share. We looked at some of this in our first energetics call, but I want to go deeper into it now and relate it specifically to boundaries. So I wanted to share with you some of the most common reasons people have trouble setting boundaries. Number one, if you're someone who is skilled at over-giving, and I'm using over-giving as synonymous with not really setting or upholding boundaries. So if you're someone who is skilled at over-giving, chances are that you're also someone who pretty consistently takes over responsibility for the people in your life. If you overgive, not in truly generous ways from your heart, but in ways that you know it's not, you're kind of being a doormat, or, you know, not upholding your own boundaries, or you're feeling resentful or tired from the overgiving, chances are that you're someone who has a pattern of taking over responsibility for other people in your life. Taking over responsibility means that you don't think your partner will really be able to take care of the kids or to take care of them well. So you cut your work time or your social time short so you can be at home. Taking over responsibility means that you don't know if your clients will do the work that you assigned them to do, so you spend lots of time on email, checking in on them over and over again, so that you, you know, quote-unquote, make sure they're moving ahead. Taking over responsibility might mean that you undercharge for your services because you don't trust that your prospect is going to value themselves enough to make a higher financial commitment. So if you look at overgiving in this way, overgiving and overresponsibility actually have quite a bit to do with needing to be in control because you don't trust in other people to take care of things or to get things done or to take responsibility for themselves. If you recognize, if you're listening to me right now and you recognize this tendency inside of yourself to take over responsibility for others in your life, then I want you to really consider what I'm about to share next. And take it in and try it on for size. By taking over responsibility for others, you're actually not helping them. On the outset, you might think that you're helping them, but truly, what you're actually doing is trying to play God in a way. When you take on the responsibility that others, your clients, should be taking for themselves, you're robbing them of the opportunity to step up, to develop themselves, and to feel good about having and holding responsibility. So that's reason number one. Second reason why, you know, many people have trouble setting boundaries is you're scared that if you set and uphold strong boundaries that you'll either end up alone or unloved. So for this one, the core wound is is the fear that you'll be alone if you aren't overgiving. You're scared that you won't be valued, or your clients won't want to continue with you, or your friends will leave you, or your kids will shrivel away, or your team members will be horrified, right? I'm taking it, you know, even out of the client context here, right? You're scared ultimately that you'll be alone because you're not overgiving. The third reason that some people have trouble with boundaries or overgiving is the fear of not being good enough. So, for example, if you don't think that your skills are good enough, then you're going to possibly give the client extra time. Or if they can't make a payment, you know, it's okay, or lower their rate, or, you know, whatever it is. So even if you think of yourself as super confident in your skills, are there areas where you don't feel good enough and you know that this is impacting your boundary setting and your upholding boundaries with clients? Take a moment and think about that. And then the fourth reason why people sometimes often have trouble setting boundaries is that you're scared of either another person's anger or your own anger. You're scared that if you set the boundary, you know, we can't have our next session until you pay for this month, or no, I'm sorry, you missed the window for rescheduling. You know, we can't reschedule that session. And the fear is that the other person is going to get angry. So this one is a doozy, especially for women. And it's one that I'm just briefly touching on now. You know, it's a piece that comes up big time when I do shadow training. For some people, because anger is something that we can often put in shadow. Why? Because in general, in society, we aren't taught, especially if you are female, we're not taught how to manage our anger, and we're not taught that anger is a natural emotion that comes up for people. Instead, we're taught in subtle or not so subtle ways to push our anger aside, that anger isn't pretty, that anger isn't appropriate, that anger isn't acceptable. And the majority of examples in popular culture that, you know, look at anger, illustrate anger as a terrible, overwhelming, you know, emotion, out of control emotion that ends up killing other people or destroying or hurting others, right? We see that in movies all the time. Now, of course, that kind of, you know, overwhelming, out of control rage is one possible expression of anger. But truly, that expression is only a last resort reaction when anger isn't dealt with up front and properly, when anger isn't embraced as natural, when anger isn't honored. But most people don't fully realize that, and instead we come to hate anger, judge anger, and fear anger in others and in ourselves. And the result of that is that we end up trying to over-accommodate others instead of setting and upholding boundaries. And then we try to cover up our own anger at having to do all of that and having to overgive. One of the core pieces of the warrior woman is that she's really comfortable with the natural energy of anger and knows how to use that for everyone's well-being in ways that are kind and loving. And for those of you that practice yoga, you know, when you think about the warrior poses, those poses are so much about setting boundaries in kind and generous ways. Okay, so those are four of the most common reasons that I've seen that people have trouble setting boundaries, right? So the control piece and not trusting others to take responsibility, the fear of being alone or unloved, the fear of not being good enough, and then the fear of anger. So take a moment and think for yourself. Again, I'll ask that question, why might you be having trouble setting boundaries? It might be one that I mentioned or a number that I mentioned or something else. But take a moment on that one for yourself. And then last question, journaling question, and we'll do some shares, and then I'll run through some of the practical applications of all of this and then the templates. The last journaling question, when you think about the places that you're not holding strong enough boundaries, what's the belief for you? What is the limiting belief that's holding you from not honoring the boundaries? Okay. So let's pause here, and I'd love to hear a couple shares, and then we'll move into give you lots of details about templates and some of these different pieces. We've been through a lot. What are you seeing for yourself so far on this call? What's important for you? I've just been talking a lot, so please raise your hand so I know that you're still with me. What are you seeing? Sophie.
What I wanted to, so for me, I do have a little bit of a hard time not going overtime. So if something is like supposed to be an hour, I would probably like let it go 10 to 15 minutes over because this is a habit, actually. I think it's sort of because I kind of want to, I don't know, make someone feel special. It's really hard. I feel like if I actually stuck to them, those boundaries, I feel like either their needs won't get met or they'll feel like I don't love them. And it's the second one is kind of weird. Like,
Yeah, so if I'm not overgiving, overgiving, then people think that I don't love them or I'm not, that they're not special to me. So that's big awareness there, right? That's a great place for you to work because, you know, if that's the belief that's fueling, think about, you know, when you have a full roster of clients, there's no way that you're going to be able to upkeep giving each person 15 to 20 minutes. So if you're still running your business on that belief, you're going to come up to, you're not going to be able to get to a full roster of clients. It's not going to happen, right? So I'm so glad that you uncovered that. It's such a biggie. And you know, what I want to share with you and with everyone is that sometimes clients don't want the extra time. Like we think, oh, it's a gift we're giving them. They want the extra time. But oftentimes our clients are very busy and they've got a their next appointment coming up. You know, I know especially for me because I work so much with practitioners, you know, there have been a few times where I've just been, you know, wanting to give more and they're like, no, I have to go, you know. And there have been times where I've been on the phone with practitioners who I've hired and they've gone over time and there's a part of me that's like, I want to get off the phone already. Like, I can't do this. You know, I have other things to do, right? So it's, there's so many reasons why it doesn't serve. So I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. Great. Dana.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great. I don't have a headset and I'm on my computer. So, what came up for me around this first was just, you know, I've said this before, but creating offerings that have a tight enough boundary. And I was just thinking of like something that I've been offering. I do the I Ching Oracle readings, and I started doing like a 3-pack thing. And it's just funny how like not tight of a container it is. And, you know, people don't book them in the right amount of time, and I forget to follow up, and it's like so loose. So I was noticing that needs to be tightened up, and I need to create boundaries of how long they need to book all of those. And, you know, for their benefit too, because the next piece is the not enough thing is like, it's always my thing. Like, I'm very aware of it. So I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get to like where we dive in and shift those, because I've grown a lot. And, you know, I've done a lot of work over it with being able to charge more and stuff like that. But yeah, I definitely need to work on that because I see that that's at the root of a lot of my boundary issues.
Yeah, good. Good. I'm so glad you can see all of those pieces. They're all so important. And, I'll tell a story in a few minutes. I'm going to give some more information, but in a few minutes, I'll tell a story of a practitioner with some of those, you know, loose boundaries. And it's just so true. It just doesn't serve the client work at all. So I'm glad you're seeing all of that. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Dana, I cut you off. Did you want to say? Hello?
Oh, yeah. Hello?
Hi. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Kendall.
Hi there.
Hi.
So what was coming up for me was kind of similar to what Sophie was saying around like I can hear this voice in my head, and this is related to like going over session time because that's been a really common challenge for me. And there's something around like it feels mean, it feels not nice, it feels like I'm not caring. And there's something about like something was drummed into me around doctors are supposed to sacrifice, they're supposed to be selfless. And something too that comes up is, you know, if I'm noticing we're close to the end of a session and someone has brought up something like really emotionally charged or important, it's like what I kind of like tell myself, this is too important to interrupt them. Like this is too, you know, too big or too important. And so I just, it's, but really, you know, when I look at these common fears, I think all of these resonate with me to some degree or another. Like these stories I kind of tell myself in my head as I see the end of the session time approaching and feeling nowhere near the end, I'm like kind of dipping into all of these.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm so glad that you can see them, because here's the thing, like there is nothing wrong with giving extra time, right? Particularly if somebody's going to bring up something charged at the end. But the important piece is that the giving is coming from the right place. If it's coming from the fear, if it's fueled by any of those fears, there's going to be resentment. It's not ultimately going to serve, and it's going to become a pattern, right? But if it's coming from, I have an extra 10 minutes, this person has just brought something up really big, and I really want to hold this space for them right now, then it's a completely different situation. And you can feel that energetically, too. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It
so
totally
there,
does.
There are times when I certainly have it when a client, like in the last 3 minutes, right, brings up, like, you know, something really charged. So first of all, I'm never going to cut a client off, like, mid that, even if I have a next session right after that. If I need to take an extra 5 minutes, I will, you know, just because that is part of the container, is not to leave them hanging. But if I know that it's something that I'm not going to be able to resolve in the amount of time that I have or in the amount of time that I'm willing to give in that moment, then what I'll do is I'll say, I'm so glad that you brought, you know, if they're crying and whatever, I'll hold the space to get them to, even if they haven't fully stopped crying, to get them to a place where I know that they're grounded enough, right?
Yeah.
And I'll just say, like, I'm so happy that you brought this up. This feels really, really big. I really, you know, I'm so looking forward to exploring more. I know we'll talk about it on our next session. Can I send you some journaling questions on this before then?
Mm. Yeah.
So I'm still holding that space. I'm using the bigger container of all the coaching, not just that one session, to hold it. But if I truly can't give the time or don't feel willing to give it, or it just isn't going to get done that day, right, that's okay, because that's the other piece that's so important for us as practitioners to remember. It's not, the work isn't about the particular sessions. The work happens over the course of the bigger container.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Awesome. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. I'm glad you're bringing that forward. Good. Got a lot of hands raised. I'm going to take one or two more for now and then move on, and then we'll have some Q&A time at the end. Tina.
Oops.
Tina.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can.
So this is really awesome that it's showing up, because I was just looking at one of my coaching clients' contracts, and I realized I went to over, like I went to extra sessions over, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and I'm new at this. So, okay, she was my first client. She like bought my highest package. Fantastic, fantastic experience. Love it. Learned so much from it. But this is why it's so important to look back and check in, because I basically, and I just, you know what, and I am going to let, so I don't know. I feel like it is done. You know, I gave her two extra sessions, and I'll say, you know, it's okay. It's my gift to you. But, you know, how shall I approach her in wanting her to continue with me in a way where, you know, I don't know how to phrase it, because I am that person that gives too much. And you know what I mean? I don't know how to enroll her in a way where, you know, her life is getting really difficult right now. So
how to re-enroll is a whole topic on its own, and actually,
okay,
yeah, we're going to cover that. I mean, it's going to take a while before we get there, but it will take me a full, you know,
no
90 minutes to get through it. But here's what I'll say now. Acknowledge, right, just be like, you know, I know we never talked about this. I almost didn't realize it at the time, but I just want to acknowledge I gave you two extra sessions, and they're totally my gift to you. I know that they served well, and I'm so happy to give them, right? So that's how you can handle that part.
Okay.
I'll talk a little bit more at the end of this call, just briefly on re-enrolling, and then we'll get to much more detail later on. Okay?
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah, good. All right, I'm going to lower hands for now, but we'll come back to more takeaways and Q&As. I just want to make sure that I get through the next pieces that I want to share with you. So what I want to do right now is kind of just run through some of the materials, the templates that I use, and just kind of highlight some important pieces in them. So here are the materials before getting started. Just first of all, this isn't a material, but I want to share this, and I talk more about this in the enrollment conversation training, but this is important about container. Once a client has said yes, like, yeah, I'm in, you know, not a client, a prospect has said yes, I do not get off the phone with them until I schedule their first call. That's part of creating the container, right? Because sometimes resistance can happen even after someone says, yes, I'm in, right? Even after they put down the deposit. So we always schedule our first session. It's about starting to create that container. I'll always, after someone says yes, I'll also always, in addition to collecting their payment information, all of that, I'll always tell them what's going to happen next. You know, Talia, who's my client care coordinator, is going to send you a contract, and we're going to, you know, all of those pieces, again, setting expectations. So it's not like, yay, I'm in, you take their payment, and then they don't know what happens next, right? We're clear on the expectations, on the flow, on what's happening. So from there, you know, I want to talk about a couple things with scheduling. So I'm sharing with you in the member center my different scheduling templates to schedule calls and to reschedule calls. So you've got that. You can adapt that for yourself if those speak to you. But a couple things I want to note about scheduling. So first of all, I feel pretty strongly about this. No, for most practitioners, not for all. I schedule out all of my client sessions ahead of time. So even for my clients that are signing on for a 12-month package, and there's many, many sessions that are happening over those 12 months, I have them at the outset schedule everything in advance. The reason for that is that that creates the matrix for the container, right? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't reschedule. Sometimes, you know, I schedule something 9 months out. I have to reschedule with the client, or they have to reschedule with me. That's fine. We have protocol for that. But knowing that all of those sessions are already scheduled, number one, it takes care of what Tito was just talking about, like keeping track, right? You don't have to keep track. You don't have to keep those records. Like, it's just all set, you know? They're on the calendar, and then you just reschedule as need be. But number two, like I said, it creates this matrix of safety. There's this reliability. There's this knowing that my support is going to be there consistently for the year. It's knowing when the support from the sessions is coming. It also ensures that if someone goes into resistance, they don't like fall off the board, you know, the face of the planet, and don't schedule their next session. It creates accountability, you know, all of that. It also lets me as the coach know how much am I going to check in between sessions or not, depending on when our next session is. And the other piece I want to just mention about scheduling is, as the coach and the practitioner, I want you to think about consistency, right? So if you've got, for example, you know, that the package is, let's say, 12 sessions over 6 months. Is it okay for your work if those 12 sessions get scheduled however over the 6 months? Or are you going to recommend that they get scheduled every 2 weeks so that there is consistency there, right? Now, that just depends on your work and how you do it. And then also, you know, sometimes I'll be on the phone with a client, and because we've got all of our sessions already scheduled out, I'll know when our next session is, and I'll see, you know, let's say they're scheduled for 3 weeks out. You know, I might say, you know, I think we need to talk earlier than 3 weeks. I really feel like we need to speak the week before or whatever it is because you've got this launch coming up or blah, blah, whatever it is, right? So that's also part of the container. You know, are the sessions happening in the right cadence? And that cadence may shift. And then going over, right? So if it's a six-month package, you know, sometimes you may need to go over a session, you know, over those 6 months. But there's some practitioners out there who don't, you know, aren't holding a tight enough container. And when the end of the 6 months comes, the client still has like 5 sessions, right? It's not good for the container and it's not good for your bank account because that's time that you had accounted for that has already passed. And now you have to make more, you know, it's session time that other clients could be taking. All right, I've sharing with you in the member center a template for a welcome letter. I always like to send a welcome letter once someone has said yes. It's just a way of, before our call, touching base, of affirming the prospect's choice, of, you know, celebrating all that's going to happen and unfold, helping that prospect feel special. Again, that's just another piece of building that strong container. Contract. I already, you know, shared earlier on the call, you know, different questions to be thinking about. I provided an example of my contract. There's information, again, in Gina Shingle Jaffe's training call that I have for you on the legal pieces of it. So again, please listen to that call. But I'll just share, I won't step into a first session until the contract is signed. That's like a hard line boundary for me that just is important from a lot of points of view. Welcome questionnaire. So all the questions that I asked earlier in the call that you want to think about for contract in terms of expectations, I have those in the contract, but we also have like longer paragraphs on them just in the welcome packet itself. I don't know, actually the team may have recently consolidated, so it's all just in one document. But either way, as part of the welcome packet, I also always include a welcome questionnaire. The welcome questionnaires are another just important piece of that, setting the container. I'll just share some of my kind of favorite things that I like to include in a welcome questionnaire. And I think I'll provide an example of that for you in the Member Center too. Adapt to your own uses. So first of all, just you want to get all of your clients' personal information in that, you know, their phone number, their address, all of it. Sometimes I have clients who are telling me about their clients, and I'm like, well, give them a call. And they're like, you know, I don't have her phone number, right? It's like these little pieces of information that we really need. In terms of the personal information, I also ask for birthday. I like to know when people's birthdays are. I'll say happy birthday. I've gone through phases where I've sent birthday gifts. But I like to know birthdays. I also ask, because sometimes it doesn't come up in the enrollment conversation, you know, do you have a partner? If so, what's their name? Sometimes I'll ask about pets and their names or children and their names. These things come up in coaching sessions, and it's just, I feel it's part of a strong container as the coach, as best I can, to know and refer to some of that personal information. You know, I don't like to not know my clients' children's names, for example. It's more personal, tighter container if I have all of that information to go with. But in addition to all of that personal information, on the welcome questionnaire, I like to often ask questions about goals, so short-term goals and long-term goals. And, of course, we definitely round all of that out when we do visioning together in session, but I like to have clients think about it beforehand. You know, here I just want to say, I didn't mention this about the welcome questionnaire. The client, when they fill out the welcome questionnaire, they're already starting to do the work that you're going to be doing together. You've actually already started in the enrollment conversation, but the act of doing this homework of filling out the welcome questionnaire for most clients, it's not just to get you the information, but for most clients, it actually gets them more invested in the work emotionally and energetically and tightens the container that way. I like to ask in the questionnaire what they feel their personal strengths and resources are. I like to ask them about their habits, both positive habits or self-sabotage habits. A really important question that I ask is about how can I best support, I like to ask how can I best support you. I want to hear from the client the type of support that they feel they need. Sometimes as part of that, I'll ask, you know, do I have permission to hold you accountable when you get off track? What is the best way that I can help hold you accountable? What is the best way for me to call you out? I think we spoke about this next one on one of our recent calls. Can ask about resistance in a welcome packet. You know, how does resistance show up for you? How do you anticipate you might resist the work that we'll do together? What are some of the fears? I like to also ask in a welcome packet any background information that I need. So like for, you know, when, if I'm doing, working with someone on a business coaching capacity one-on-one, in the welcome questionnaire, I'm going to ask things like, what marketing strategies do you already have in place? Do you have a newsletter community? How many people are in that newsletter community? Which social media platforms do you use? How many people are on each of those platforms? Questions like, do you do live preview presentations, you know, how, and some of these things I'll have already covered in the enrollment conversation, but I like to have all of that background info at my fingertips so that when we strategize together, I've got it. And then I always have a question of just like anything else, is there anything else that you would like for me to know about you? Because there's sometimes special things from their past that is they feel is important to share, something that they're going through personally, you know, whatever it is. So those are welcome questionnaires. Let me pause here. Those are all the biggies that I send out before we actually start coaching. Next, I'm going to get into some details of templates and structures while we're coaching, but are there any questions on either scheduling, welcome packet, anything that I mentioned so far? Tina.
Thanks for answering, Joanna. I have a really, I don't think it's a silly question, but it's something that keeps showing up. For the payments, you know, if you have like a regular monthly payment that you run, what do you recommend, like a credit card system that's good for coaches? Because I feel like PayPal takes so much out of
the credit card.
You know what I mean?
Yes. So the credit, most of the credit card systems that you're going to use are going to take about as much as PayPal too.
Okay.
What is the one that I use? I always forget what they're called. You know what? I'll post it in the Facebook group. The name always escapes me. But and if I don't, just remind me, Tina, and I'll post it.
Yeah, that would be great because I want something that's like I really like it when I get the receipts from you. They're very like organized, and I just you know, I was just curious.
It's authorized.net. Authorized.net.
Authorized? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And is it around the same percentage as well, or?
It is. I mean, double check. I don't remember. I use both. I use PayPal and Authorize.
Some people,
you know, it's just convenience for some people and for others.
For sure.
But yeah, you should check.
For sure. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You're welcome. Let's see. Who is this that's raising their hand? 0684.
Hi, Joanna. This is Nicole.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
So many insights already. I have a question. Do you also ask something around backgrounds, around parents, father, mother, siblings, etc.? Or do you do this while you are coaching in the first or second session? Or is it part of your information you want to know beforehand, like some kind of autobiography?
Sometimes it will come up in the enrollment conversation because fears will come up and, you know, people will talk about their background that way or obstacles. But I really let the rest of that kind of come forward as needed when we're coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that for you, you know, if that's something that feels important for you to know, then absolutely integrate that into the welcome questionnaire. But it's not something that, for me, I kind of just wait to let it happen when it needs to happen.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this because sometimes I ask them and sometimes I don't. And you mentioned some very interesting questions, so I think I'm going to reset my questionnaire, and I was wondering if you also included the background around family. But, well, it comes up during the sessions, I think, in your case.
Yeah, no, I don't. But it's really good, I find, like, even for seasoned practitioners, it is really good every now and again to go back and look at your questionnaire. And the other thing I'll share, you know, for you and everyone, and if this feels complicated, don't do it. But I'll just share for me, you know, 90% of my clients, I'll just tell Talia, my client care coordinator, you send her our regular questionnaire. But for some people, because of what came through in the enrollment conversation, I'll add extra questions in that I know I need answered. So I will, not all the time because it's too time consuming, but every now and again for someone, I will personalize the questionnaire, you know, if need be. And then I also have a little bit of a different, some are the same, but some are different for continuing clients. I still like to send a questionnaire most of the time, not always. And then I have some different there. Yeah.
Okay. For continuing clients as well, you also send a questionnaire. So it's
most of the
important
time.
To know.
Some don't need it,
but,
you know, a lot of times they do.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
For,
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So let's continue. So what I want to talk about next are accountability forms. I mean, I've spoken about this, you know, in Sacred Depths before, so I'll just take a moment with it. I really like, for the most part, for my clients to fill out an accountability form before our session. I really feel like it's an important part of the container. It's an opportunity for the client to spend some time getting ready for the session, preparing for the session. It allows the client to integrate all that's been happening since the last time we spoke, and then it's a way for me to get just quick information that I need from the client so that she doesn't have to spend half of the session giving me a lot of background information, and we can just dive in. And I've provided a template that I use. And, again, I'll personalize these templates for different clients and even session by session sometimes for clients. I'll say, you know, add this question just for the next session because it came up, you know, whatever it is. Like she said she may want to start meditating and she needs extra accountability. I'll say, so you add this question, you know, how many times have I meditated this week or, you know, whatever it is. But generally the types of questions I like to have in the accountability forms are number one, celebrations, right? We've already spoken in our creating awareness module on the importance of celebrating and acknowledging celebrations and how the coaching container is a kind of a healing and corrective experience for people to be able to more deeply take in all that they accomplish. And so part of that is I have people write out, you know, what do they want to celebrate since our last session? It's so important. And it also lets me know, right? It gives me good information. I like to ask them, I always have at the top of it, you know, what's your big goal for the next 6 months? Not so much because I need to be reminded, but because they need to be reminded consistently what their goals are, right? So it's just a great way to keep on, you know, coming back to, you know, the accountability form does some of the work for you so that you don't have to do it in the session, right? So there's that. You know, because I do a lot of business coaching, I'll ask, what marketing have you done since our last session? What is your inner wisdom telling you about your work and your business is a question I like to ask. And what would you like to focus on for today's call? I don't like to have too many questions, like 4 or 5, 6 at the most, bullet-pointed answers, but enough to, you know, accomplish all of these things that I've been sharing about. Another piece that I don't always do, but I just wanted to offer this to you. Sometimes it's nice and sometimes it's really needed and other times it's not. But sometimes as part of the container, I'll set like a session in the middle that's really about, I call it like, you know, a midway assessment call, and it's a little bit different than a regular coaching session where, you know, in a regular coaching session, we'll look at what's up in that moment or work towards specific goals, you know, all of that. The midway assessment call is, you know, if I feel about halfway through the work that the client needs to really drill down into owning more of what she's accomplished so far, if she needs to reset or remember her goals, and if we need to, like, take a higher perspective view on some patterns that she's really ready to change or different ways that her and I may want to be working together, or different energies that we want to bring into the container. And so I almost set it up like an assessment call, you know, what have you accomplished so far? What are you proud of? What feels good about that? What hasn't been accomplished and why? What do you feel is possible in the next 3 months, 6 months, you know, whatever time there's left? Questions like that so that they can really assess halfway through where they are. Assessing is such, and you know, we've already looked at this point, assessing is really important when it comes to coaching and understanding progress. And then, you know, Tina brought up, so, you know, how do you re-enroll someone? And I'm going to kind of make that question a little bit bigger right now, but, you know, just like it's important to set a container beforehand and uphold a container, you know, while you're in the coaching, it's also really, you want to pay attention how you're ending the container. Ending is just as important as beginning. And how you end it will really determine what the client remembers about working with you. It will determine how connected they stay with you afterwards if they're not going to continue. And it also, if you would like for them to re-sign, it will help them re-sign. So I have a whole next step process, which, as I said earlier, I think on our very last call, I will share the entire process with you. It's a process that, you know, if I want to resign someone, 9 times out of 10, they will even more than 9 times out of 10, they will resign. Obviously, it's not just about that process. It's about all the work we've done together. But it is important to think about what you're going to do in your last session with someone. So just to give you a little bit of info now, without all the details, I like to schedule, especially if I know I want to continue with someone. If I don't, then I'll integrate some of this just into our last session. But if I know that I want to continue with someone, sometime before their second to last session, I'll schedule a bonus extra gift call. I call it a next step, a celebrations and next steps call. And I'll take them through a process to help them see all the ways that they've grown through our time together. And this is important, you know, even if someone's not continuing, you really want to do this as a way of closing the container, you know, what they've accomplished, inner and outer, what they want next, and what's required for them to accomplish what they want next. So we'll get into all of the details and the mechanics of that later on, but I think just the last thing I want to say about this piece, I know what I was going to say. Even if you have clients that continue with you and re-sign, I want you to think about the container. Like, yes, there's just the biggest container of your relationship, and in many ways the next cycle is already part of the container, right, that you've already created in the first cycle or the second cycle, whatever it is. But what I've really learned is that while there's the biggest continuum of the container, when someone re-signs, it is vitally important to not just have it like be, okay, now we have more sessions, we're continuing on, but to reset the container, to create a new mini container within the bigger container, so that you create new goals for that next cycle, so that you talk about the new habits or patterns that you want the client to step up to, right? Like, I'll commonly say, you know, this last year that we worked together, and this is after celebrating them and acknowledging all they've done, you know, I might say something like, you know, this last cycle, you were a little, you know, still in your fear place when it came to visibility. What I really want to invite you to next is to stretch more into blah, 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 right? Whatever it is. So you want to reset all of those expectations. You may want to ask the client, like, what do you need differently of me this next cycle? And then you can consider if that's something that feels appropriate to give to them. But it's a mistake to just, when you re-sign someone, that it's just like ongoing. I always like to have a first, even if I've been working with someone, and I have some clients I've been working with for 7, 8, 9 years, when they re-sign, our first session is a new first session. All right, a couple other pieces that I want to make sure I share. Client care is part of the container. It's totally a part of the relationship, and it has an energy to it. So when I say client care, what I mean is like all the ways that you or your team are taking care of the client while they're in the container. So Talia, you know, she's my client care coordinator. Anytime a client has a question about, you know, rescheduling, or if I go on vacation, Talia lets my private clients know ahead of time, Joanna's going to be out of town for these days. That's such an important part of the container, right? Because if they don't know that I'm going out of town, they send an email, you know, they have we haven't agreed on those expectations, right? So they need to know. So all of those client care pieces are part of the container, and not just the what. It's not just like the what of, okay, here's the reschedule, right? But it's the how. What's the energy of the client care? So whether you're doing it yourself or you're like me and you have someone on your team doing it, you know, I'll share, like Talia, for example, who most of you have communicated with, she is totally trained and versed not just in how to reschedule, but in my energy and in how the energy that I like to communicate to my clients with. Right? And so that's why when she reschedules, if a person doesn't forget to use the link, whatever, and they say, oh, I need to miss X appointment, she doesn't just write back, okay, let's reschedule. She writes back, I'm so glad you got in touch. I'm happy to reschedule with you. It's a tiny little client care piece, but it's such an important one because how the client feels, not just when they're in session with you, but in all the communications that they have with you and your team, that's part of the container. The other thing around, a couple other things I want to share around client care. So how quickly do you respond to emails? To me, it's such an important part of the container. That doesn't mean that you have to rush to respond to emails, but there needs to be an expectation, right? I've worked with practitioners. I've had coaches before who I've sent them an email, and then it's taken them, seven business days to write me back. And even though they're absolutely brilliant when we're in session together, that's like not an agreed upon expectation that it's going to take, that long for you to respond to an email. And that really erodes the container. Are you, as the practitioner, following up on things that you said you would share? Sometimes I'll be on a call with a client. I'm like, oh, let me share that training with you. Or, oh, I read this article. That's so relevant, right? I write it down, and I really try within a few days to share that piece of information. I just have a couple minutes left. What else do I want to share here? Oh, I think just the other piece I'll share for now, and then I'll open up for Q&A. Is on the very first call, I may have already shared this earlier, but just on the very first call, obviously the whole first call is about container setting, but I do spend the first 5 minutes doing a couple of very specific things. So number one, I like to, just first reaffirm and say, oh my gosh, I'm so excited, we're finally starting, and just really have that strong, celebratory, supportive start. I like to remind the client that I am really there for them, that I want them to email me in between sessions if anything comes up. I like to remind them, how I show up, and remind the client to let me know, what she needs throughout our work together. I like to really just set those pieces. And I like to also share, again, about the accountability forms, just like any of those container housekeeping pieces that are important for a strong start. And then at the end of our very first session, now any session to hold the container, I like to set intentions and then ask for takeaways, right? But on the very first session with a client, in addition to asking about takeaways, I always like to just say, tell me, honestly, how did this first session go for you? Is there anything that needs to be tweaked, right? It's sometimes hard, right? Like, it can feel scary to, what kind of feedback is this person going to give me? But I feel like it's a really important part of the container setting to check in at the end of that first session to make sure that the rhythm, that the energy, that the client is getting what she needs and what she expected. Okay, so that was a lot of information. I know we're almost at the end here, especially on a day talking about boundaries. I won't go too many minutes over. You don't have specific homework this week. You've got a whole slew of templates in your member center to check out, a lot that we spoke about today, and some other templates as well that I didn't speak about today. If you want to go deeper with some of the inner work that we did, I encourage you to write a letter from your inner warrior woman to yourself and see what she has to tell you. I'd love to hear what comes from that. And if you're working with a coaching partner, you know, nothing specific, just keep on going. But take note of some of the anger pieces, over-responsibility pieces, good enough pieces, you know, any of the pieces that we looked at today. So with that, I'd love to just hear if anybody has any questions for me or takeaways before we break for today. Star two. Anything you need from me? Jessica. Oh, wait, hold on. Jessica.
Hi, Joanna. Thank you. This was very helpful. I have a question, and I don't know if this is the appropriate time or place to ask this, so if it's not, you can just, you know, tell me when. A lot of the, well, I mean, some of the pieces that you describe are just things that you create, but some of them, like scheduling and, you know, the client care, are potentially services that are apps or programs that you might purchase mm-hmm. to support you in your business. And I guess I was curious, you know, A, if you have any general recommendations, and B, I'm really just so curious how much these things typically cost and when in your, you know, development of a business is the appropriate time to get them.
Yeah.
I mean, realizing that that may vary for people.
Yeah, it's a great question. So first of all, I'll just share that it wasn't until 3 years ago. Like, I have been already coaching for, you know, like well over a decade before I got an online scheduling service. I was probably too late. I'm just so old-fashioned. But the reason why I share it is because it totally worked very well, you know. I mean, and you'll see in the templates how to do it if you don't have a scheduling system, because I include that in there. It's really, if you're going to schedule everything in advance, you can just ask the client, you know, what, tell me generally when are good times for you, Tuesdays at 9 or Wednesdays at noon, you know, give me a couple of options, and then you go through and suggest. Let's say you've got, you know, 16 sessions in the container. You just, in an email, include all of them and ask which ones work and which ones don't. And, you know, you can go from there. It's not, it takes a little bit of effort, but not a lot. But I would say, you know, once you've got, you know, at least 10 clients, it can start to get hairy. I should say I wasn't doing it all on my own for all those years. Talia was doing it, you know, pretty early on. But, you know, once you have 8, 9, 10 clients somewhere in there, it will start to feel hairy. And so you either want to have an assistant help you with that, or you can use TimeTrade. I'm not really well-versed in all the different ones. We can start a thread in the Facebook group, because I bet you some other people have ideas. They all have different rates, but, you know, generally, and I should know how much I'm paying, I think we pay something like $20 a month. I pay a little bit more just because I have other coaches on my team, but I think it's somewhere between $12 and $20 a month. I'm pretty sure around there. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and I'm curious about the personal assistant or client care person as well.
Yeah, so I usually recommend, you know, once you have like a three-quarter full, whatever your roster is, so long as it's not a very small amount of what is full for you, but once you're about three-quarters full, it does make sense to bring on some support, and that person can help. This is a much longer conversation, but I'll just tell you quickly, like with scheduling and contracts and all the welcome packets, if you're doing a newsletter, that person can help with setting up the newsletter. You know, you send them your copy. They may help with social media. There's lots of different ways they can help. Because I'm someone who's really thrifty, I usually don't, some people, they start out, they're like, I need an assistant, and I don't feel like that's cost effective. It becomes cost effective only when you're spending the time that you would be on that with clients or doing bigger marketing, and that really only doesn't happen until you're about three quarters full. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. All right, I think this is Ruth. Is that you, Ruth?
Oh, yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, sorry. I'm actually actually silent, so there might be some background noise. But, yeah, my question was around the fear of because with my clients, I'm like helping new business owners with their first couple of clients, and I noticed that, you know, for some of them, they kind of like take a longer time, and I'm just wondering how to just hold that space for them, because what I find tends to happen is that when I see that they aren't really moving forward really quickly, then I kind of like give them more time at the end of the program. So if it's a 12-week program, I might make it like, you know, 16 weeks. So, and that's happened a couple of times now. So I'm just wondering, how do I not? Yeah.
Well, so it starts with the energetics, right? So why, what's the belief that you're holding that's causing you to give them those four extra weeks?
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that, well, you know, this person has signed up because they want to get their business up and running, and they haven't really made that much progress. So that's what's holding me back, I think.
Yeah. So tell me if I'm getting this right. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of take a leap, but tell me if I'm landing in the right place.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like the belief there is that when my clients don't make immediate progress, it's my responsibility.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, of course, you're going to give them extra time because you are a woman of integrity and you want to fulfill your responsibility, right?
Yeah.
And so you're going to try to make it happen. But why does that actually... doing them a disservice?
I think I'm not really sure how it's being a disservice to them. Because in my mind, I think I'm being of service to them if I'm giving them more time.
So, again, for the interest of time, I'll kind of share with you what I see instead of coaching you through it, but you can tell me. You may not agree with this. So I think there's two reasons why it's doing them a disservice. The first is because you know that you're available, you're going to give them more time, like you can, right? I think you're not, and I know that you bring your A game to your coaching, but I think it's letting you off the hook to be more bold with them in the actual 12 weeks and really look at the resistance and really boldly kind of name what's going on for them and call them to a higher standard.
Right.
Because you've got this way out. Oh, but I can just give them a few more weeks, right? But the more important work is to actually call them to a higher standard during the 12 weeks. And then the second reason that I see is that most of the time, especially with business coaching, one round of coaching actually isn't enough, especially if it's 12 weeks. You know, if it's longer engagement, that's different. But honestly, 12 weeks is not enough to get someone totally up and running. And by giving them the extra 4 weeks, you're actually diminishing the opportunity for them to re-sign for another 12 weeks, which they probably actually need even more than the free four.
Yeah. Okay.
How does that all land for you?
Yeah, it does make sense, and I think I've got to work on me and just really look at what beliefs I've been holding on to that makes me keep thinking that I need to give them more time. And then maybe I also have to look at maybe making my program longer.
Yeah, I personally, just having done business coaching for so many years, at 12 weeks is really it's hard for a startup, someone who's just starting. That's a very brief period of time, because usually newbies take the first 4 to 6 weeks just to stop freaking out about the fears and the obstacles, and they get off to a slower start, which is normal. You know, not everyone. Some people are out the gate running, but that's what I oftentimes find. And I feel like six months is more solid for someone who's new.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And I'll take one last question. Sophie.
Oh, hi. This is a really quick question. What would you consider a full client roster? Because as someone new, I actually have no idea what that is.
When I say full client roster, I just mean, like, what is your ideal amount of having a full practice? Is it 15 clients? Is it 25 clients? You know, how many people for you is going to be full?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, great. All right, good. Well, please, if you've got more questions, post them in the Facebook group. I'm always happy to see stuff in there. I'd love to hear more takeaways, what you're seeing for yourself, inner and outer. Thinking about all of you, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.